Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Daniel Biss, Democrat, running for governor of the state of Illinois, is in our studio. Your comments about the Facebook story. Go.
Seems like a real bummer. Seems like maybe we shouldn't have one of the largest corporations in the history of the world collaborating with the foreign government.
Or just sharing. To be honest with you, I have two views. Thanks for asking about the sharing of
anytime,
analytics.
Anytime, John. Anytime.
And they are one. Sometimes when you click on, say you're going to buy a sofa, and you click on sofa, and then everywhere you go digitally, sofa ads pop up. In some ways, that's helpful. It's kind of cool. It's a little frightening how quick it happens. But we already know that they're sharing some of our information with businesses. I guess it's you almost go on the internet at your own peril anymore.
Well, you know what, John? Let me actually tell you some stories about this. I have tried to pass legislation in Springfield protecting consumers in really simple ways, saying, like, for example, hey, your credit card company can't share your data unless you affirmatively say they are allowed to. I couldn't get that bill passed. The banking lobby was there to try to cut my head off. And the same thing when we try to pass legislation about protecting consumer data online. These corporations are powerful, and we can sometimes beat them, but they have this assumption that they ought to be able to do anything whatsoever. And I just think that's not right.
Obviously, you've been a state lawmaker. You've also been a math professor. That's your background, right?
That's right. I was teaching for 6 years at the University of Chicago before I went into politics.
Welcome back into our studio. Here's what we've been doing, Dan. We've been inviting the politicians who are running for governor and other offices, for instance, Cook County Assessor. And we said, look, here's what your opponent is saying about you. Let's let you respond, because those commercials are naturally very one-sided, but can also be misleading. And lo and behold, you must be flattered. J.B. Pritzker is spending a lot of money running you down.
You know, it is a strange world of politics where I've got to explain to my 8 and 9 year old kids that the reason daddy is being attacked is because we're doing well. But that's how it is. And I am flattered. And I think it's fascinating that he's running so scared that a billionaire who's now spent $70 million of his own money blanketing the state with ads, with flyers, with every kind of communication imaginable, he is just not taking off. He can't get out of the 30s, and he's frightened about what happens when the voters see a middle-class progressive. And so he's unleashed on me with both barrels. And I get it, that's how it is, but I just wish we could have a better discussion about what the state really needs.
Do the rules of campaign financing bother you?
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean, listen, like I said, J.B. Pritzker spent $70 million to buy this election, and I just don't understand why he thinks that's healthy for our society, why he thinks that's healthy for our state. What we need is for people to be more important than money. We need our votes to be more important than their dollars, and that's what I'm fighting for.
Darlene Glanton in the Chicago Tribune, you may have seen this last week, had a story about him. And one of the things she pointed out, and I met JB. He came on with Roe a week ago. I met him. He seemed like a nice guy. We visited for a while. But he's spending $180,000 a day. If you take the money he's put in, the money you're talking about, and then divide that by the number of days he's been running, it comes to, out of his own pocket, $180,000 a day. Now, you're playing the same game. One day you put in $56, as I recall.
It's actually even worse than that. I put in 56, and then my running mate, Letisa Wallace, she put in 56 too. So between the two of us, that's 112 bucks right there. But you know what? You're right. JB is putting in this incredible amount of money, $70 million. And one thing you might want to think about is, what else could we do with that money? I'd encourage folks to go to jbspends.com. jbspends.com. And that's a website that can explain to you how fast JB spends the cost of putting someone through childcare, the cost of putting someone through college, the cost of providing home care for seniors. There is just a lot better that we could do with that money if he was willing to spend it to make people's lives better instead of tearing down people who are trying to run for office.
It's his money. It's his money. In fact, they've created a spot where you go to Dan Biss something or another.com, and then we find out a lot of unattractive things about you, fella. So be careful what you ask for.
I always try to be careful what I ask for.
Okay, well then here are some of the ads that are being run against you and Chris Kennedy. These two cuts are from the same commercial. We'll start with cut number one. It says, you support taxing retirement income.
Chris Kennedy and Dan Biss both support taxing retirement income.
Is that true?
Here's what I support. I think J.B. Pritzker should pay his fair share in taxes. And I do think that when J.B. Pritzker retires, he should pay tax on his retirement income. But I oppose ever asking middle-class people, working people, to pay a tax on their retirement income. I would never ask someone to pay a tax on a middle-class public servant's pension or a Social Security benefit. And what JB is saying is that because he's so scared of me becoming governor and forcing him to pay his fair share of taxes, he's going to lie about my record and pretend that I want to tax people who we all know should not be
taxed.
Well,
is there a certain threshold then? Are they referring to if I have over a certain amount of retirement income, are you suggesting that be taxed?
Yeah, I think that people earning millions in retirement income, like JB one day will, like people who get these golden parachutes from the biggest corporations, they should pay their share.
Is there a threshold? What's the amount after which I should start to pay income tax on money I've sheltered for the express purpose of not having to pay taxes on it?
I think you got to look at these people making multi-million dollar pensions, and you got to look at the fact that they are getting away scot-free while the rest of us are paying too much.
Okay, the same commercial also says this.
Both could tax 401ks, pensions, and even Social Security.
It's just a lie. I don't know what to tell you. J.B. Pritzker is so scared of what happens when the voters see a middle-class progressive, he's willing to lie. And it's not the first time he's lied. He lied about whether he was going to release his tax returns, and he promised he would, then he didn't. Now, then he lied for a year about whether or not he was setting up accounts to store money offshore. He's been lying to the voters, and so did Chris Kennedy, unfortunately. He said he would release his tax returns, and then he didn't do it either. And I think the question we got to ask ourselves is, if they've already been willing to lie to us to get elected, what are they going to do after they win?
Have I seen your tax returns?
You sure have.
They're online?
My 5 years of full tax returns, every number, every comma, every semicolon are all online for people to examine, because I'm not embarrassed. Because I know that if people look at my finances, they're going to see, hey, Daniel Biss is a guy who's on the side of ordinary people. He's not trying to get himself rich. I don't know what JB and Chris are trying to hide, but I sure am worried.
All right, Dan, they have a campaign that also says, invites you to go online and click through and find out more about Dan Biss. Here's one of those ads.
Dan Biss says he's a proven progressive. Okay, let's check his record. Biss wrote the law that slashed pension benefits owed to teachers, nurses, and state workers. The court ruled it unconstitutional. Dan Biss, take a look for yourself.
That's that campaign. Is that true?
Here's my position on pensions. I have fought to make sure that we fund pensions, to make sure that we keep the promise that a pension is, to make sure that we tax the wealthy appropriately to actually be able to fund the pensions and keep that promise. I got to the legislature in 2011, and I asked to be on the pension committee. Everybody else was saying, hey, that problem's controversial. I don't want to be around it. But I said, no, put me on the pension committee. Put me in and let me try to actually address it and solve this problem for the people of Illinois. And I rejected awful proposals that would have slashed pensions, proposals that J.B. Pritzker was fighting really hard for back then, back when he was talking out of the other side of his checkbook. I did eventually accept that in order to get something done, when people were telling me, Daniel, the only way to move the ball forward is you got to accept either making changes to pensions or else making further cuts to social services and education, I was too quick to accept that false choice, and I went along with the effort to make changes to pensions, and I have learned from that and have since then fought even harder to tax the rich fairly.
So your position has changed. You did vote to cut teacher pensions. You would not do that now.
I've not just said I wouldn't do that. I've voted to protect teacher pensions time and time again since then. I've taken a lot of heat when there was pressure on me from Democrats to vote to cut teachers' pensions, and choosing not to do it, because what we have to do is reject that false choice. What we have to do is finally fight for what's right, which is to tax the rich appropriately and use that money that we could bring in to fund pensions and keep that promise.
Well, the state's books and the pension budgets are upside down. The solution is higher taxes for the wealthy?
That's the foremost solution. We have a system right now in Illinois where if you're a middle-class family like my family, you're paying too much. You're paying too much in property tax. You're paying too much often in sales tax. But Illinois is an incredible place to be a billionaire with low, low top marginal tax rates, without taxing financial transactions, without taxing so-called carried interest.
I'm happy to have them pay their fair share. I'm happy to have it be punitive, for that matter. I'm still not sure that they have enough money, or that that's even the right way to do it, to fix the budget crisis or the pension crisis.
Well, I've been working to try to find the right solution.
Can that work? Does that work?
It does. Let me give you an example.
That does?
Let me give you an example. Okay. If we were to take the Wisconsin income tax code, you don't have to be radical enough to go to California or New York. If we were to take the Wisconsin income tax code and impose it here in Illinois, that would be $10 billion of new revenue a year. And so I'm not suggesting we should do exactly that. In fact, I think we shouldn't. But there are examples in the Midwest of neighboring states that have found ways by asking the wealthy to pay their share to bring in significant revenue. And that's got to be our first solution.
Here's another commercial charge against you, Dan Biss. Ella, this will be Dan Biss 7.
Dan Biss says he'd be a middle-class governor. But in Springfield, Dan Biss wrote the law to cut pension benefits owed to over 450,000 workers, including teachers like me.
I guess that's the same charge, and you said you changed your tone.
Yeah, it's the same. See, they were spending millions of dollars with that same attack.
But they're also spending money trying to talk about the way you would fund education. Let's do Dan Biss 5 on funding for charter schools.
Biss voted to increase funding for charter schools at the expense of neighborhood public schools. And he's supported by a pro-charter group who's fought for school privatization.
Okay, what do I make of that?
Well, it's hard to even follow what they're saying. I don't know what they would be talking about in terms of who's supporting me. I do know that J.B. Pritzker is someone who's got a charter school named after him. There's a Pritzker charter school.
Are charter schools bad or good?
Here's what's good. What's good is neighborhood public schools in every community in Chicago and Illinois. And that's what I've been fighting for. And I've been fighting for a school funding system that makes sure that every single neighborhood has a well-funded public neighborhood school. Now, I've also voted to hold charters accountable. I voted, for example, to hold charters to the same standards as traditional public schools when it comes to special education mandates and English language learners requirements. And because I voted for parity, for equity, they're saying I'm trying to somehow privilege charter schools. It's just not true.
All right. This is Biss 6. This is the wages that would be garnished if you're behind on your student loan.
He's taken money from big banks. And Biss joined Republicans in Springfield and voted to let the state garnish wages when people fall behind on student loans.
Should they take my wages if I'm behind on my student loan?
This is actually, I think, probably the most insane lie of all of J.B. Pritzker's insane lies, which is really saying something. This was a bill to give the state Student Assistance Commission the same powers the federal government has because, lacking those powers, they were forced to take student loan borrowers to court, to sue them and screw up their credit ratings. And the bill that I voted for gave them the power to stop doing that. And the thing that's really frustrating about it is I am one of a couple of the national leaders on protecting student loan borrowers. I passed a bill over Bruce Rauner's veto, by the way, that gave Illinois the strongest student loan bill of rights of any state in the country. I have cracked down on payday lenders and wage garnishing and wage assignment more than probably any other legislator in Illinois. I am so proud of my record on these issues, and J.B. Pritzker has no shame, but I get it. He's desperate. He's a billionaire. He spent $70 million. He can't pull away with this thing, and he's just going to say whatever it takes.
Would you have signed the bill that the governor vetoed on registering guns or gun shop licensing?
Oh, I sure would have. You know, this was an important bill that actually would save lives, would enable us to keep guns out of the hands of people who everybody claims to believe should not have access to guns. Bruce Rauner vetoed that bill because he's got a primary coming up. He put politics over lives.
He said it was onerous, that it wasn't comprehensive enough, and that it was actually asking these gun shop owners to do too much, and it wouldn't have the impact that you're describing.
You know that a politician is lying to you when they give two opposite arguments. It's both onerous and not comprehensive enough, right? Come on. No bill is perfect. This bill wasn't perfect either, but it would have helped the state stop gun dealers from putting guns in the hands of people who weren't supposed to have access to them. And Bruce Rauner, in contemplating that opportunity to save lives, said, you know what? I'd rather pander to the NRA because I have a primary coming up. It's very disappointing.
How close do your numbers say you are?
We are right there. We think it's going to be a photo finish tomorrow night. And the reason I think we're going to win is not only that the people of Illinois want a middle-class progressive over just another inexperienced billionaire, but also that we've got a movement of people. We've got people on the streets. We've got people knocking on doors. We've got people making calls. And in this moment when so many folks are trying to make up their minds, I think the campaign that has that kind of movement support behind it is the campaign that's going to win.
One last question, Dan. And some of our listeners are calling and texting the same thing that Brian wants to ask on line three. We'll put him on. Brian, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hi. I guess I always have a problem when people say that the rich should pay their fair share. What is a fair share? on a percentage basis, they're paying a greater percent of their income than the majority of the people. I think it's something like 1% of the high earners, which are classified as those people that make $450,000 or more, they pay more taxes than the 90% below them combined.
Well, let me give you an example that I think really tells the story here. In 2015 in Illinois, if you were in the bottom fifth, you paid about 13% of your income in state and local taxes. So if you were in the bottom, you paid 13. If you were in the top 1%, you paid less than 5. So if you're at the bottom, you paid 13. If you were in the top, you paid less than 5.
And he's talking percent. He's talking percent.
You tell you what, you Google it. And they'll say, I mean, this is probably on a national level.
No, I think you both are telling
me. On the national, Brian, you could be right on the national level, and I have strong views about federal tax policy that I could talk about any time. But in terms of what I have the authority as governor to deal with, it's state taxes and then indirectly local taxes. And I think that right now in Illinois, more than almost any other state, the poor and the middle class pay a higher share of their income in total state and local taxes than the rich. And I just think that's not right.
Still, the percentage that the rich pay, it's a progressive tax system here and across the country.
No, not in Illinois.
Rich, you're telling me that the rich in Illinois don't pay on the last dollar they earn a higher percentage of their income? Sure they do.
No, not in Illinois.
If they're part of the federal tax system.
On the federal tax code, sure. But in our Illinois tax code, it's totally flat. So you pay on your $10,000th dollar, 4.95%, and on your $10 millionth dollar, 4.95%. I think that's not right. And unfortunately, the property tax is actually quite regressive, right? A billionaire, as a share of their income, doesn't pay almost anything in property tax. But if you're making $100,000 a year, you pay a lot of your income in property tax.
I'm going to throw it into the newsroom. Steve, we need a short question. And, sir, we need a short answer. Go, Steve.
Oh, Senator, very quickly then, you talked about being confident about tomorrow. Where do you need to see your votes come from? I mean, if we're watching the votes tomorrow, if it's good for BIS, what's it going to look like?
It's going to be a high turnout is good for BIS, a lot of young voters, a lot of progressive voters, and a lot of people who don't always turn out but realize this is a chance to put a middle-class progressive in and transform Illinois.
Dow is in negative territory for the year based on what's happening today. Those details in 7 minutes. Daniel Biss, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thanks for having me back.